We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Monday, February 3rd, 2025. Thank you for downloading. Greetings from virtual New Orleans, Louisiana. That is if our traveling contingent with 97.3 The Game made it safely. And I hesitate to even say this, given the fact that planes are falling out of the sky left and right these days. Oh my God, the ambulance crash, the air ambulance crash of a Learjet in Philadelphia, right out of a movie scene. However, it was real life. Seven people are dead and scores others injured. I think I saw a video of a man walking from the crash scene literally on fire from head to toe. And I say I think I saw that because, well, I did see a video purporting to be that. In this day and age, you just don't know with the bad actors and AI and people wanting to prank people and go viral on the internet. I don't know. But the videos that we saw, that thing lawn darted into the ground. It was going fast. Wow. NTSB going to have a very busy month. Let's hope, knock on glass, tabletop, that it does not get any worse. So, we are down in New Orleans. This is being recorded, let's just say, safely ahead of time on my travel day Sunday. But there is NFL and Super Bowl-related stuff I'm going to get to. And then, a guest today in the form of Brian Toohey, who is an author who has written three books about the NFL, not just the NFL, but pro sports being not quite what you think. The fix is in, larceny games, and the fix is still in. We'll talk to Brian about his thoughts now that more and more mainstream voices are stepping up to say, what is it me or do these things look like they're not on the up and up? We'll talk to Brian in just a bit. But Super Bowl 59, New Orleans, Louisiana. Kansas City Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites against the Eagles. 6:30 tip time on Sunday night. Lots of good commercials coming out early, including this one regarding Bud Light. Yes, remember good old Bud Light? So it's amazing how somebody finally said, all right, let's just forget that whole ugly incident happened where we turned over our marketing to a young woman by the name of Alyssa Heinerscheid and tried to make Bud Light woke, tried to make Bud Light appeal to the younger generation, tried to make Bud Light appeal to men and women, and perhaps those on the LGBTQIA++ spectrum of people, when it was never going to appeal to them. But it sure felt good for Ms. Heinerscheid for a brief moment. Here is Alyssa speaking in an interview about what her task was when it came to the brand and her as the chief marketing officer. Take it away, Alyssa.
I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men. Mm-hmm. And representation is at sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor. And it was really important that we had another approach.
Okay. The brand absolutely tanked. They got rid of Ms. Heinerscheid. Don't know where she is now. And they once again found their way back to their good old fratty guy humor type of messaging. Because guess what? That's what works. Now, Bud Light's not back to the same levels it was prior to this, but I believe it has saved itself from going extinct. Now they're leaning heavily into Shane Gillis. Comedian Shane Gillis is great. I think I like him a lot. He is certainly politically incorrect. And they have given him free rein to help sculpt and create and write and execute commercials like this one about a Bud Light driveway party that goes haywire. Take a listen.
You want to go fishing tomorrow?
I got a colonoscopy tomorrow.
Post Malone, by the way, is sitting next to him on a lawn chair.
Fellas, I accidentally threw a lame party.
Okay, Ted.
They're on their way.
Big Men on Cul-de-Sac is the title.
They're here.
Ooh. You call this a party?
Cul-de-sac party. Launch. Launch.
Beers are a metaphor for an invitation.
Shooting cans of Bud Light out of leaf blowers all over the neighborhood.
You are cordially invited to the end of the cul-de-sac.
This is incredible.
Your mower smokes meat?
Our smoker cuts grass.
Hell yeah.
I spent most of my money on this.
You rigged?
Fully custom.
How many Bud Lights can you fit in that puppy?
As many Bud Lights as it takes.
A lot of Bud Lights.
It's cul-de-sac popper.
Bill, get off the boat. The HOA's already breathing down my neck.
Peyton Manning makes a cameo. This cul-de-sac is popping. The woman says skeptically, your smoker cuts grass? Or no, the other way around. Your lawnmower smokes meat? No, my smoker cuts grass. I've got most of my money in this thing. This may or may not sell beer. I don't give a shit. That doesn't matter to me. It's funny. It's well done. If we can have a Super Bowl that brings back those kind of commercials, then yes, I'm in for it. The game I'll just have to suffer through, but the commercials need to be great. Speaking of Ms. Heinerscheid, does anyone know where this young go-get-em marketing executive is? Now, it'd be nice to think, well, she's never working in marketing again, but she was just doing what her bosses wanted her to do. Somebody had to hire her. Somebody had to give her the position. People above her had to say, yeah, no, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's definitely take this big turn to the left here for this brand. I see lots of sales in this. So I would imagine she's probably somewhere else in marketing with a pretty cushy job, blaming all kinds of things for what happened, none of which were her fault. And you probably don't want to bring that up in the break room if you're new in the company she works at. Like, oh, Ms. Heinerscheid, weren't you the one behind like, hey, I just got fired today. I literally just finished my onboarding and now they've fired me. What happened? I brought up to the boss that I thought she was the one in the Bud Light thing. Didn't like that. So what am I going to do in New Orleans? First of all, why am I there? I went and made a list of the Super Bowls that I have been lucky enough to attend. And I say lucky enough because, let's be honest, the Super Bowl is considered by some to be the highest secular holiday on the calendar in America. And if you can tell somebody, oh yeah, I've been to the Super Bowl, they look at you like with awe and reverence. What? Because it's only one game a year, it's very expensive, and people are clamoring to get tickets. Of course, I've not gone as a fan. I've only gone as a media whore, and I've only had passes to go to the game itself on, I believe, three occasions. I wrote a list of every Super Bowl week I've been to in my career. This will be my first trip back since 2018 in Minneapolis. Now, we would not be going as a station, 97.3 The Game, as part of iHeart, if it weren't for the NFL. The NFL is apparently, according to the people I talk to, footing the bill for us to go down there to be on a wonderful set that is going to be built just like, you'll see it when I get down there, just like the exterior of Lambeau Field to promote the upcoming NFL draft. And they wanted the flagship station and their shows to be there. And so they said, look, we'll take care of it. And our bosses said, okay, we'll be there. And then our bosses said to us, this is not optional. Even if you didn't want to go. Of course, what do I care? We got a good hotel, Hilton Doubletree on Canal. That's nice. So we're not way out somewhere in the boonies. And good thing the NFL's paying for it because Darren Revelle tweeted, if the hotel prices don't come down and come down quick, he believes the ticket price to get in this Super Bowl, much like the one that he made his bones on back in 02, in which he got in for less than face value, it's going to happen again. At least that's what he thinks. I'm going to see Darren on Radio Row sometime this week, and we'll see if we can get him on. But right now, 4- and 5-star hotels going for $4,625. Well, that's not bad for the week, Zabe. No, that's per night. 3-star hotels going for $1,465 per night. 2-star hotels going for $847 per night. And they didn't mention what 1-star hotels were going for, probably because either they don't even make 1-star hotels or you wouldn't want to dare risk your life to be in one. So what do you want from me as I'm down there? In years past, as I was a younger man, and the league was less saturated, there was less media coverage from all angles, podcasts, blogs, vlogs, TV shows, gambling shows that are TV shows, that are on networks, that are on streaming, that are going to be there. You know, when there was less saturation for access to players and opportunities for kind of organic offbeat content, it was a decent rodeo to be at because you could get close to some of the players on some of the breakout media sessions. You could get close to the players for one night or one afternoon it was, or one morning really on media day. That's now been made into a big Monday night kickoff on television and highly structured, highly separated from its original roots. And so in the past, when I was younger, I felt much more gung-ho about, hey, Super Bowl week, yeah. Look at this, look at that. We got this guy, we got that guy. Of course, the guest lineup, as we all know, for most radio shows is abysmal. It is the same 24 former players of some note, but not much, hawking products and services that make you roll your eyes. I could play the Mike Francesa bite when he swore he was not going to do that, and then he goes to Radio Row and he does exactly that. In fact, let me find that. Do you mind if I look something up real quick in real time while chatting to you? Today's podcast brought to you by MyBookie. Go to mybookie.com, bet responsibly on the Super Bowl and its prop bets, and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. Funhouse, Francesa, Super Bowl should bring it up because it's a classic and it is a banger. Up, 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 up. Here it is. God, thank you. The search on Twitter is getting better, in my opinion. It's not great. It's not Google-like, but it's getting better at least. So here was Francesa talking about Radio Row back in the day.
But we'll do a little bit of everything. We'll do a couple things. Definitely we haven't overloaded the shows with a bunch of, you know, just a parade of players. Because, listen, that's what this has become. It's become an economy of players who want to get paid to hawk products, and that's what they do, and they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that stuff, so that's not what we're going to be about as we get ready to hit Atlanta. So we'll try to see what other interesting things we can kind of hook onto.
A buddy of mine turned me onto this product. I tried it for like 3 or 4 months, and I noticed the difference, and I've been taking it ever since.
And they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that stuff. So,
X-Tech, you wear these guys yet?
I switched out my pads last year.
And they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that.
By the way, Merciless was promoting shoulder pads. Who the fuck is going to be going buying shoulder pads because of a NFL player?
That stuff, so.
What do you got going on now?
Okay, today I'm partnering with Genesis. I got to drive this car for...
Danny Amendola. He had a look at his notes. Today I'm partnering with Genesis.
About 2 weeks,
it's
man.
A nice it's looking
a, it's
car.
It's a G70.
It's a nice looking car.
It's a nice car, isn't it?
These G90s.
And they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that stuff, so.
All right, tell me what you're talking about here, guys.
We're talking Charles about Haley. Pure Sports Recovery.
And they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that stuff, so.
Tell me about this thing you got going on here.
Oh, my, your kids are going to love this.
Yeah, because I know they play their buddies, and I didn't even realize, Merrill, that there was Madden Money, and they play each other, and I didn't even realize this stuff went on, to be honest.
And they just line up and hawk products. Well,
keeps
you know, we're not very much into that stuff, so.
All right, what's going on? What do you got going on here?
Well, I'm representing Aztec Pads.
Oh, yeah, I know them well. Yeah. I know the guys well from New Jersey.
From from New Jersey.
Up in my neck of the woods. So
yeah,
I know them
Bob
well.
Broderick and Jack Merritt.
And they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that stuff, so.
All right, talk about Nutrisystem for me.
Dan Marino. Dan Marino Nutrisystem, one of the classics.
Nutrisystem stuff I see everywhere.
So it's been, yeah. No,
we've been doing that a long time.
It's been over 10 years now. And
they just line up and hawk products. Well, you know, we're not very much into that stuff, so.
Go to Macy.com. That's the website at Macy,
Solomon
Wilcox.com.
Good to see you, as always, Solomon.
Good
thank
to
you.
See
pleasure
you,
to talk to you.
I'll see how much of that there is this year. There's fewer and fewer and fewer radio stations going there because it's so expensive, and rightfully so, and it's a dreadful week in a loud environment with the same crappy guests, so... I think I'm going to, and I know you're going to go, wow, that's rough work, Zabe. You're such a hero. I'm going to try to be out later than I normally would to at least see some things and get you some stories and have something to tell you about at 6 a.m. the next day. And then I'm going to power nap like a mofo throughout the afternoon. I'm not going to any press conferences. I'm just going to go back to the hotel and super, super nap. But let's see what I can find. We're going to drag up. Problem is, things don't get hopping until at least Thursday. And by then, I only have one show left on Friday morning. It's not a great environment for morning radio, to be sure. But we'll see what happens. So I went to the one in 95 in Miami. That was the Niners and Chargers. I was completely in awe because my program director, Mark Jenskow, who is basically my age, but a little bit older, he had balls the size of church bells. He got us somehow to be able to walk on the field well after the game was over and got us into the locker room with our credentials to the Niners, and I watched him gently badger Steve Young, who had just won the MVP, get the monkey off my back to sign a mini helmet for him. Complete breach of journalistic ethics, but Jenskow was determined and he got it. I'm like, son of a bitch. In 99, in Miami, my second one I went to, Falcons Broncos. That was the one where Glanville stiffed me for breakfast. It was also the one where, at the time, the Fabulous Sports Babe was a big deal. And she had a band that played during her commercial breaks in the Radio Row Hall, which was in this large hotel atrium that would echo like crazy. And all of us doing other shows were getting pissed off because the band was being so loud. And I think at one point I stood up and screamed during a break, "Shut that band up." Nobody did anything. Yes, the Fabulous Sports Babe, Nancy Donellan, 1999. Tampa, 2001, Giants-Ravens. I saw Lindsay Lohan checking out of my hotel room on my way out of town at 4 in the morning, and I couldn't believe it, and I was too scared to go up and say anything. Oh, Lindsay, you were great in The Parent Trap. She had already begun her descent into irrelevance at that point. 2002, New Orleans, where we are this week, Rams-Patriots. Andy and I walked down Bourbon Street as far as it would go, walked into a bar, thought we'd see a basketball game on. Instead, it was Will and Grace on every single TV. We looked down and said, "Oh, it's all men here. That's cool. I think we should probably head back." 2003, San Diego. Oh, my God. What a Super Bowl sight. What a town, San Diego. Bucks and Raiders. I don't know how we did our show because we were on Fox Sports Radio. Scott Lynn went out there with us and with me. I think we taped it at night and ran it the next day. Taped it in the afternoon and ran it the next day because obviously 3 a.m. we ain't going to be at Radio Row. Scott got bullied by former Padres pitcher David Wells at a bar where he was drunk and belligerent, just shoving people, and somehow got it into with mild-mannered Scott Lynn. Hilarious. 2004, Houston, Panthers and Patriots. I got to meet Rusty Harden before anyone knew who Rusty Harden was, pretty much, at a restaurant on the first night of the week. Also went to a strip club in Houston, which I'd never seen the likes of. Treasures, Two Stories, Mammoth, and they were Houston businessmen having lobster dinner, full-blown lobster dinner, while getting lap dances in the strip club. I was like, wow, welcome to Texas. Jacksonville, 2005, Eagles-Patriots. Let's not talk about that week. It was miserable. Had no lodging. We were way down by the beach. The weather stunk. There was no cabs. And I believe the morning show for Fox Sports Radio with our friend Andrew Siciliano and Van Earl Wright overslept on Monday, so they were not on the air in time. Jesus. 2007 in Miami, Bears-Colts. I didn't go to Miami that year. I went to Atlantis. That was the best radio scam junket ever. The late, great program director, Andrew Ashwood for Fox Sports, put together a alternate Radio Row week at Atlantis, the very expensive resort over across the ocean in the Bahamas. And we were there broadcasting live, as were other shows. And they were able to pay pretty good name players like Jay Novacek and Matt Leinart and Todd Light, former Ram DB, to be there during the week and to be part of this whole junket where they sold packages to fans who wanted to go and watch the shows and meet the players. Outrageously ambitious from Andrew Ashwood, and we were lucky enough to be on that.
All right, back after this.
Hold on. Excuse me. Okay, Mike Francesa. Click the button there at the wrong time. So that was 2007. 2008, Phoenix. Giants-Patriots. We stayed in a hotel near ASU. Scott fell in love. He's like, I don't know why I didn't go here for college. I should have. And I was like, I had a chance to, but it was my safe school. I went to UCSB instead. Didn't remember much else from the week. 2010, Miami, Saints and Colts. That was the one where we got snowed in back in D.C. Andy came back home and had to shovel out his car, or tried to shovel out his car with a hand shovel, a sand beach shovel he had bought in Miami. Back-to-back blizzards in 2010 nearly stranded us for a week down there. And we begged our program director, Dennis. We're like, we got to come home Wednesday. There's two big snowstorms coming. This is going to be a nightmare. It's like, no, we got sponsors coming down. We need you to be there to at least they can, you know, shake your hands and see what's going on. I'm like, Jesus, okay. think we got out of there on Tuesday, and we were lucky to do so because it could have been a whole nother week down there in Miami. Also that week, I went to a dog track for the first time in my life with Tom Lavero. A real-life dog track. And let me tell you, forget the dogs running around. It was the people watching that made me go, wow. These people are down on their luck in life. Dallas 2010 or 2011, the Packers-Steelers Super Bowl ice storm. Misery for the entire week. Would have been a fun fucking week for us in the media, but the ice storm ruined all of that. Came in Monday night, and that was that. That was a wrap for the whole week. Phoenix 2015, Seahawks-Patriots. All I remember there was that Cooley, Chris Cooley, who was doing the show with me in the afternoons, insisted I try some of his red reactor amphetamine powder. He's like, just try it. Like, put a scoop of it into my drink. And I was, my hair felt like it was growing. And I know my hair is not growing. Thank you, Cooley. 2019, Atlanta, Rams-Patriots. I left at halftime so I could say I ailed the Super Bowl. Met J.B. Smoove on the way in from the media ramp to get into the building. Terrible Super Bowl, 13-3 your final. Patriots win. That was the one where El Prez got thrown out, handcuffed and thrown out of the game for trying to sneak in by the NFL's goons. What a moment for him to really put him and take him to the next level. That was a hell of a stunt right there. 2018, Minneapolis. No, did I say Atlanta 2019? I switched it up. Minneapolis 2018, Eagles-Patriots, freezing as hell. We stayed and did the shows in the Mall of America. And then 2019, it was Atlanta. And then 2023, I had credentials to go to the one in Phoenix. I was staying with my folks, Eagles and Chiefs, the first time around, and I didn't even go. Nobody else from our station, 97.3 The Game, was there, but I had credentials to at least go. I was going to do some interviews and blah, blah, blah. By the time I got out there, I was like, I'm just going to go play golf today. Do I really need to go and be part of the NFL's rodeo? So I've been to a few of these. You can tell why I might be jaded. I'll try to get you some stories from Bourbon Street and beyond at night. We'll see how it goes. Stay tuned for how that shakes out. Coming up, Brian Toohey, the foremost tinfoil hat conspiracist in the world of sports. He's next. You're listening to the Zabecast.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joining us now is a man who for a long time now has said, what you see when it comes to sports may not be the whole truth. A lot of fishy stuff goes on sometimes, and we're finding out more and more about it. Brian Toohey is his name, and he has written three books, The Fix is In, Larceny Games, and The Fix is Still In. He has done copious amounts of research when it comes to professional sports leagues, the law, and famous incidents that raised eyebrows at the time. You are free to believe whatever you want to believe, but there is certainly a lot of stuff out there, and if you wanted a good resource, go find one of his books that can be had anywhere fine books are sold. Brian, my friend, long time no talk. How you been?
Great. How are you doing, Zabe?
I'm doing good. Boy, I'd say that you and I chatting again is timely and appropriate, given the way things have been going in the NFL, wouldn't you?
You saying there's something shady going on? Is that what you're referring to?
This has been a doozy of a year. Now, you and I first connected when you were writing your first book, The Fix is In. And that was
many moons ago.
What year was that approximately?
It was released in 2010.
Okay. All right. So we are in the early parts of the social media age, but it wasn't as dominant as it is now. And I think the sports world was a bit more innocent back then. But boy, the internet and social media and everybody having a camera everywhere and scandals that have erupted since has made everybody a little bit more suspicious. I would say that, yeah.
I was just saying rightfully so.
And rightfully so. Now, sports conspiracy people seem to be going mainstream now. I assume you saw the clip of Bill Burr roasting the NFL right to Rich Eisen's face.
Yes.
Good stuff, right? And I believe he even referenced one of your big talking points is that, hey, these leagues are organized and filed as sports entertainment legally for a reason.
Well, that's just it. So a league, and many people don't believe this, but any sports league, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they can manipulate, rig, fix, whatever word you want to use, their own games and do so legally. There's no law that prevents them from doing this. Two laws that come close. One was the law that was passed in the 1950s related to the quiz show scandals, where basically, as sports I think are today, they used to, the television networks rigged the game shows. Like $21,000, $64,000 question to make those game shows more interesting and to get people tuning in week after week. Well, that got exposed by congressional investigation. They passed the law, but the law says it only relates to intellectual contests that are televised, not physical contests.
Isn't that funny? You're not allowed to rig game shows anymore, but you could rig the Super Bowl if you wanted.
Correct. And the other law that was passed in 1963 was the Sports Bribery Act. That relates to specifically, and it's like a four-sentence long bill, that basically says you cannot bribe being the key word, a player, coach, or referee to alter the outcome of a game.
Right.
But if a league, like the NBA, through like Tim Donaghy, says, hey, we want you to officiate this game in a certain manner, which benefits one team over another, guess what? No one's being bribed. It's not an intellectual contest. Right. So there's no law that's stopping them from doing these things.
So for years, you proudly wore the tinfoil hat and leaned into it when it wasn't so popular. Now you got all these mainstream personalities and media people willing to at least go there or at least dip their foot in the water. I'm just curious, how does that make you feel?
Kind of proud in a way. I mean, I should be jealous.
Vindicated to a certain degree.
But yeah, that's just it. I think I'm vindicated because after all this time of, you know, beating this drum, whether it's related to game fixing from this entertainment aspect or game fixing from a gambling aspect with the whole Terry Rozier thing that's starting to come to a head, I think I'm just proving to people that, look, 15 years ago, I was on top of this. I was telling people, I was warning sports fans, hey, not everything's the way it seems. And now as it becomes, like you said, more and more mainstream, although I may not get the credit I feel I necessarily deserve, at least it's coming out. And people are recognizing that, hey, something might be going on here.
You did a ton of research for your books where you dug into various things regarding leagues and also scandals, point shaving scandals, league scandals, everything else. I think one thing we have to be clear, and this is where you can help clarify, there's a difference between something being rigged and merely manipulated. And I would argue there's something different than a bad actor like Donaghy trying to profit on his bad acting versus the NBA saying, you know what, we need the Lakers to get past the Kings, so we're going to make sure they get 27 fourth quarter free throws in game six to stay alive.
I mean, that seemed a little shady, didn't it?
Yo, totally. Like, to me, the biggest ones were always that game, game seven, Bucks Sixers with Allen Iverson and Dikembe Mutombo against the small market Bucks sticks out. There's been other incidents that were very shady, like when the power went out at UNLV when Wisconsin was in town playing against them, and a transformer went out on only the block, and it made sure the game could not continue. Very fishy there. The 91 NCAA semifinal involving UNLV after they found hot photos of Anthony Hunt in a hot tub, or Anderson Hunt in a hot tub with a known gambler and part-time fixer. And the list does go on and on and on. And, you know, people are rightly suspicious at times of how much do these leagues have their thumb on the scale?
Yeah, well, I think they have the right to question because, you know, one bad call that favors the Chiefs, you can write it off as one bad call.
Right.
You know, five bad calls, you start going, well, and then 10, 20, a whole season's worth. And then you start saying, well, you know, my eyes aren't lying to me. I'm seeing something fishy going on here. And I think what I think happens is I don't think this is like the NFL is professional wrestling. I don't think at the beginning of the season, all the owners get together and say, okay, we're going to have the Chiefs three-peat this season, right, and here's how we're going to do it. I don't think it happens at all. I think what they do is as certain storylines emerge, as certain players emerge, as certain things start, you know, catching the zeitgeist, if you will, of sports fans, then they start saying, well, if we do a little something here, we do a little something there, maybe we can extend these things to go on a little further than they should, and that's going to make all of us money. That's going to profit everybody. And I think that's what happened. So, I mean, I don't think, like you say, everything is necessarily fixed, but I think that is manipulation. I think it's tweaked, whatever word you want to use. I think, and I don't think it's necessary where Roger Goodell says, you know, hey guys, we need you to do this. I think even the referees kind of know. They just know what should be going on.
They don't need a memo. In other words, they know what the league would generally speaking prefer, and they know that their assignments for future high profile games hinges on whether or not they're actually in tune with what the league probably would want.
You look at the guy, like I say, go to like the NBA and a guy like Dick Pivetta. How many games did Dick Pivetta seem to be involved in where it's like, man, that was really suspect? And you're like, Dick Pivetta was reffing in the NBA finals. Well, that's because I think he was a true company man and he was doing exactly what they wanted.
Yeah. To me, the most.
I was just going to say, that's the big problem, too, is you see what seemed to be horrible calls. I mean, like, there was that pass interference call in the Rams Saints game that led to the Rams going to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I mean, just horrific, totally blown call. Everybody saw it was blown, and yet the referees weren't punished. You know, right? They weren't suspended. They weren't fined. They weren't fired. The NFL just, that's one of those things, and they just kept going. I mean, if they want actual culpability, if they want to raise, you know, the way fans look at their officiating, then do something about that, but they don't. And that's why I think there's a difference between the right call and the correct call. And that's a big sticking point, I think, for fans. They just don't necessarily see that.
And part of what really drives fans crazy is that you look for motive. And in the case of the Saints versus the Rams in the Super Bowl, the Saints would have been a perfectly acceptable, commercially sellable team with a star player in Drew Brees, exciting offense. They had been to the Super Bowl before and won it. So it's not like that would have cost them any money in the game. But Saints fans remember very much Bountygate, and they very much remember how badly the league fucked them. And so therefore their antenna was up of, are they done fucking us, or do they have one more shot in them? And that's what really set them off on, how could no referee see that? How could no referee, even after the collision occurred, the fans are in an uproar, the replay is going up on the Jumbotron where they're technically not supposed to look, right? And they're technically not supposed to review pass interference. How could not one of the seven guys drop a late flag to go, hold on, hold on, this was egregious? Everyone held firm, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I know. And that's why I don't think instant replay is going to matter, even if they implement it more and more into officiating. I think they have such gray rules that, you know, they can always say, well, it's a catch because of A, B, and C, or they could say it's a drop because of X, Y, and Z. And so it's just, which side do you want to fall on? I mean, it's still a subjective call. So, I mean, even, you know, the toe tap on the end zone, you can clearly see the guy's inbound or out of bounds, but then again, CGI might, you know, could always play a role in that if you really wanted to get into it. Right. But I just think, you know, it's not going to make a huge difference because so many of these things, they can adjudicate either way they want to.
Well,
given the circumstances.
Even worse, replay has put these big calls in the hands, literally, of the league. And I made this point on my show last week. I said, as soon as the refs in Kansas City, Cleet Blakeman's crew, had a genuine tangle on their hands because they had two linesmen that were at odds with where the ball should have been, they didn't do any of the normal procedure. They just said, throw it to New York. And in New York, they have a committee of three men. Walt Anderson, the only ex-referee on that three-man committee, with Perry Fuel, a former coach, and some guy who is an administrator, who is a PR guy for the Giants, is on the final three. And the league held the fate of the Bills and the Chiefs in their hands, which is way too much power for me to be comfortable with, because the call was right on the razor's edge. You can make an argument either way. And they stood there, you know, like a Roman emperor ready to put his thumb up or thumb down and play God. And I hate that.
Well, what I would love, I think it'd be riveting television, is why can't we hear those conversations between New York and the official?
Wouldn't we love to hear that? Yes. Because then they would have to justify, hey, the one and the seven of his jersey are clearly over the 40. Sure, we can't see the ball, but where do you think it is? It's got to be there. Yeah.
But we don't get to hear that. And I mean, there's a reason, I think. I mean, I think it's part of the whole subterfuge of the whole incident.
They don't ever want to give up that control. They don't ever want to be subject to that scrutiny. You remember when, Brian, the XFL let people listen to the guys reviewing calls as they scrub back and forth? That was fascinating. The NFL could easily do the same thing, but nope, no chance in hell.
Yeah, because, I mean, rule nerds would be, they would just love it. They would just be all over that sort of thing. And then fans wouldn't feel like, you know, where did they pull this call out of their ass from? Right. You know, at least then you'd know, okay, maybe they're looking at it wrong, but at least you'd know why, as opposed to just some arbitrary ruling that seems, like you say, to be handed down from God.
So if the leagues are putting their thumb on the scale or manipulating or massaging, the question has to be why? Why would they go to such great effort and expose themselves, maybe not legally, but expose themselves to huge PR downsides when sports is already a massive business that cannot be stopped?
Well, because I think there are certain storylines that matter more. I think the part of it is like with the NFL, they say, nobody really seems to know the exact number, but 80% or more of all revenue is shared. So a team that goes 16-17-0 and a team that goes 0-17 almost makes exactly the same amount of money because they're all in it together. So why not push certain storylines maybe above and beyond they should? Because in the end of the day, it's all a television show. It's all about TV ratings and advertising, and you need people to tune in. And so why not make certain stories, certain Cinderella things, transpire magically almost on the screen in front of these fans, because you know down the line when the next time comes for the next television negotiation, you can go up to now Netflix and Amazon and all these other outlets and say, okay, who's ready to spend on us? Because we're the only thing people will watch live anymore is professional sports, and we can present a show that no one else can. Who's ready to pony up? And it seems like year after year, contract after contract, the numbers just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and everybody profits. the players, the coaches, yeah. everybody.
Is that perhaps why no prominent owner or coach or really high-profile player has spoken out and really put their foot down and said, this is complete bullshit? Is that why? Because it is kind of a communist system?
Well, I think in a way they have, though. I mean, we just had Joe Mixon basically say in the locker room. But we've had a lot of players
I'm talking a quarterback. I'm talking a coach who flat out says, I don't care how much they fine me. The fix was in on this one.
Well, here's the thing. What's the benefit for you? You know what I mean? If Peyton Manning, you know, somebody like him came out and said, look, I threw the Super Bowl against the Saints and the league rewarded me by giving me the Super Bowl against Cam Newton and the Panthers. So I could ride off in the sunset.
Right.
Everybody would line up against him. Everybody like, where's your proof, Peyton? I know, you know, you're Peyton Manning and blah, blah, blah. But where's your proof? I mean, they would not instantly jump behind him and support him. They would be against him. Everybody would be against him. His teammates, everybody would come out against him. He has nothing to gain. It's not like he's going to sell more books or make more money. All of these players, all of these coaches, that's their livelihood was football. And whether they want to be another coach again or they want to move up the ranks or even if they want to sell cars on the side, you know, they want to still be known as the NFL player, not the NFL player who ratted out the league and who the entire league turned against.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think there's something to gain by bringing out this, I think, known secret. I think a lot of players know that certain times, certain calls go against them, and it's mandated and dictated by the league because it behooves them.
I think if you did, at best, you look like a lunatic. At worst, you look like a crying bitch. And neither is a good look for players, right, when it comes to losing a game. So,
I was going to say, just look, for example, though, at something like game tanking in the NBA. Everybody knows games are tanked, right?
Yes.
I think everybody's. So how does that happen? I mean, right? It's got to be, I mean.
Who orchestrates Mark the tanking?
Cuban. Yeah, well, I mean, Mark Cuban went on the Dan Patrick Show a few years ago and said, I told my team it's in our best interest if we lose. So the owner probably conveyed that message to the GM, who conveyed it to the coach, who conveyed it to the players, who said, you know, just go lose. We don't care. Just lose. That's a fixed game.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
And that's
right
a game. Yeah. That's multiple games. I mean, the 76ers had the process for, what, three seasons where they were losing games. What, were they discounting tickets or parking or hot dogs or any of that? No. They were acting like these were normal NBA games.
Yeah, well, we had
they're all fixed.
Right.
They're all rigged.
We had teams this year in the NFL that purposely started scrub QBs for no good reason late in the year just because they wanted to lose games. The Giants were one of those teams. They're like, look, let's go take a look at this guy. Really? He sucks.
Yeah,
haven't played him all year.
Let's take the tires on Drew Lock. Yeah, let's see.
Right. Let's just check that out. do you think we'll ever have a real-life smoking gun moment? A memo, a leaked piece of video or audio that makes everybody gasp like, oh my God.
I think there's a possibility in this day and age, given the social media, everybody has a cell phone on them type of thing. I think you could get some sort of leaked audio video that would make, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I think the gambling end of it, I'm surprised nothing's happened yet. And I think that's coming very, very soon.
So you get the feeling on the gambling front, there is something even bigger than the relatively speaking, small fish guys we've gotten so far.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, because you look around the world, you look at soccer, tennis, rugby, cricket, all over the world, matches are being fixed. People are being arrested. They're thrown in jail for doing this sort of thing. And yet we in America just act like, what's going on? What happens? People fix games. What? They just seem utterly confused. Like, but what's a crime that occurs worldwide that doesn't take place in the United States?
Yeah, I agree.
Name you another one.
I agree.
And that's supposedly the one.
There's a naivete amongst Americans that somehow our sports are more pure. We don't do that over here. Get over yourself. Trust me, it's happening. And by the way, there's plenty of examples throughout the years if you don't believe it. So, exit question. What if it came out there was a smoking gun that was clear? The leagues are, if not scripting outcomes to a certain degree, they're heavily massaging or putting their thumb or full hand on the scale in key moments. And what if that came out and yet the people just didn't seem to care? That they shrugged their shoulders and went to their next three-team parlay on FanDuel and called it a day. Wouldn't you be surprised?
Actually, no.
Neither would I. I'd be enraged. I'd scream at him going, look at this, you dummies, what are you doing? Well, you know, people have an amazing ability to rationalize.
Exactly. Like, well, because it's entertainment, right? Some people watch, you know, movies. Some people watch The Bachelor. Some guys just watch sports. And, you know, that's an escape. You need an escape.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to kind of click that off in your brain that, man, this has all been manipulated. I mean, look how many people, they'll do pay-per-view for professional wrestling. That's all fake.
That's true. Hey, shush.
Not like people stop showing up.
Come on now.
Well, I mean, come on. Roddy Piper is an idol. He was all just, you know, make-believe.
The fix is in. Larceny Games, the fix is still in. Plus a couple other books you've written that you say aren't sports related, so don't worry about them. You can find these books on Amazon, I trust.
Of course, wherever good books are sold.
Wherever good books are sold. Are there audiobooks?
No.
Do you need me to voice them? Can we strike a deal?
If you'd really like to read that, sure. But I wouldn't go as far as to do it, so I don't know why you would.
All right. Well, if not me, get James Earl Jones. Oh, wait a minute. He's dead. Never mind. He was the best when it came to voices. See my voice right there? I got a little rasp in there. So anyway, Brian, it's a pleasure as always to catch up with you again. And we will keep our eyes sharply peeled at the Super Bowl because you know the big monster storyline that's out there, right? Chiefs win. Yes,
proposal?
Chiefs win. And Jason Kelce, who was already on the verge, or Travis Kelce, who was already on the verge of retiring last year with another Super Bowl ring, gets down on one knee, and it's a love story. Go pick out a white dress and tell your dad it's a love story.
I'm serious. If that happens, seriously.
Well, seriously. It has. Well, okay.
Won't it just be one of those things where you're like, there's no way that wasn't just a ring?
Here's the thing. The Chiefs have to win for that to happen. There's no way he proposes after a loss.
After a loss.
So if this is somehow in the ether, in the works per se, then we'll watch keenly if it's a close game down the stretch. What kind of calls do they get? The Eagles got hit with a very 50-50 PI call last time that cost them basically the game. We'll see if it's egregious this time. I know I'll be watching with a keen eye, and I know you will be as well. All right, Brian, thanks for taking some time today. We'll talk again.
No problem. Appreciate it, Dave. You have a good one.
Let's end on this. Ed Cooley, head coach at Georgetown University, who's got the Hoyas back playing the kind of basketball that would make Hoya fans proud from back in the day, had a great little quote the other night about kids and adversity today. And when he says kids, he doesn't mean 6 and 7-year-olds, although he could. He's talking about the young men who are still kind of kids that come into his responsibility as a head coach. He talks about kids, young people, and failure, and how we, as modern parents, are having a harder and harder time of resisting the urge to make it so that our kids never fail and never suffer consequences of their own inaction, disorganization, laziness, procrastination. And it's not a good thing. Here's Coach.
And I don't think our kids know how to fail today. They really don't know how to struggle. You know, we the parents have bailed them out of everything. If something gets hard, we the parents say, okay, baby, I got you. Failure is good sometimes. Failure brings about an internal drive.
You know what? That's a great quote right there. One to remember, and I know I am as guilty of it as anybody else. It's tough, though. We don't like to see our kids fail. And sometimes it costs us money. Hey, sweetheart, did you register for that class? You didn't? I told you 7 times. Now we got to pay another $500 because it's late. And so the story goes. Okay, that's it for me today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Andy Pollin will join me for Tuesday's Zabecast. I'll be in New Orleans. He'll be back home. I'm sure he'll be jealous of the Fuller Brush Convention, as he calls it, when it comes to Radio Row and the Super Bowl. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. Rate and review. It tickles the algorithmic gods. And we will see you next time.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.